So does a seed die when you plant it? Not really. At least not biologically. Metaphorically, sure, it dies to its seedness and it becomes something else. But biologically, it transforms into what it was always meant to become. A plant, or not just any plant, but a specific kind of plant. Several verses beyond where our reading today stops, Jesus actually points this out. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush, he says. And he's driving home the point that it is from the abundance of the treasures of our hearts that good or evil comes. A good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil, he says, which puts us right back into that binary trap that we found ourselves in last week, with good people producing good and evil people producing evil, and which side are you on? But I ended last week by insisting that if we are to have the mind of Christ, if we are to become living stones, if we are to be the body of Christ in the world, we have to move beyond, we have to transcend this binary view that is so easy for us to fall into. And seeds can be a helpful metaphor. At least Paul thinks so, and so does Jesus, it turns out. Paul loves this image of the seed being planted and dying and then rising again in a different form. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in a physical body, raised in a spiritual body. But remember, he also says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And Jesus says something similar to this in John. You're probably familiar with this. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But seeds don't really die when you plant them. They are inert, but they are full of potential. Which is actually true of all things, seeds as well as mature plants. As the Japanese poet Ikkyu Sojun wrote, if you break open the cherry tree, where are the flowers? But in the springtime, see how they bloom? The same is true of all of us. What depths, what graces do we contain in potential? We continue to evolve. We're certainly not the same as we once were, nor have we reached the fullness of what we are to become. We await our own blooming. And like seeds, we also have our protective shells. Life comes at us, and stuff happens, and we build up our defensive shells. Our binary brains work because they protect us. We learn very quickly that fire is always hot and cars are always real, and we construct a reality around us with our dualistic either-or brains. It's a protective barrier that surrounds us, and it enables us to get through our days and get through our work. But at some point, those shells will crack. As Richard Rohr points out, the dualistic mind cannot process things like infinity, mystery, God, grace, suffering, sexuality, death, or love. And so we stumble over those things, or we try to get rid of them, or we ignore them and hope that they'll go away. But the work of transcending our dualistic binary minds means cracking open that shell and gaining access to and experiencing the soft, vulnerable potential that is inside. which is exactly where Jesus takes us today. He pelts us with all of these examples of the ways our hard outer shells can be cracked open. And the potential, the non-dual both-and responses that are possible. All of those things that he mentions in that first paragraph, I read those as aspirational goals. Those are buds in the tree. Those are things that I will be able to do eventually. And remember, Jesus is almost always pointing to the end of the path, because that's where he is. But most of us are somewhere much further back. We're seeds that have just fallen or barely started to sprout. He's a full-grown plant. What he says today, that's undoubtedly where the path leads. And if your seed falls on this path, on the ground of love, on the path of Christ, this is the kind of plant that you can and will grow into eventually. Planted in the soil of love, and with God's help, you can grow into doing good to those who hate you and blessing those who curse you, praying for an abuser, lending and giving and doing good with no exceptions, not judging, not condemning, forgiving. And that's where it starts. That's the first sprout that needs to take root. Forgiveness is the beginning of the path. Remember, Jesus likes the topsy-turvy. With him, the low are lifted up and the mighty are brought low. And so sometimes you have to turn things around to see what he's doing. In this gospel reading today, he starts with the end and ends with the beginning. Because forgiveness is where it starts. Once our hard outer seed coating has been cracked open, and the potential, the possibility, and the necessity of forgiveness becomes all too real, then gradually, slowly, you can begin to grow. And that can be painful. That can feel a little like dying. It is some of the hardest work that we will ever do, being broken open and learning how to forgive and how to be forgiven. Now, of all of the words in our church lexicon, forgive, in all of its various forms, is maybe the most misunderstood. One of our greatest living saints of our church, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, has done a lot of work on forgiveness. He knows firsthand how hard it can be, having lived it in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa following the end of apartheid. He and his daughter have co-authored a book called The Book of Forgiving, The Fourfold Path for Healing Ourselves and Our World. And in it they write, "Some find forgiveness difficult because they believe forgiving means forgetting the pain they have suffered. I can say unequivocally that forgiving does not mean forgetting the harm. It does not mean denying the harm. It does not mean pretending the harm did not happen or the injury was not as bad as it really was. Quite the opposite is true. The cycle of forgiveness can be activated and completed only in absolute truth and honesty." That's the ground of love. Forgiving, he says, requires giving voice to the violations and naming the pains we have suffered. Forgiving does not require that we carry our suffering in silence or be martyrs on a cross of lies. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend things are anything other than they are. When our protective shells are cracked open, the ground that we find ourselves on often feels hard and unwelcome and maybe painful, because there is always hurt and pain and shame and sorrow and grief when we engage in the work of forgiveness, the work of reconciliation. But if we allow our hearts to put roots out into the ground of love, we will grow. And this is the work that we are being invited into. This is the work that God calls us to. This is the work that we will have some wonderful opportunities to practice this Lent as we engage in the workshop of liberating ourselves from racism. But there are always plenty of opportunities for practicing forgiveness. So I urge you to keep in mind that the ground we are on is love, and that Jesus today stands way at the end of the path. And many of us, probably most of us, are still way back at the beginning. And there's a lot of protective seed coatings out there. There's a lot of cracks out there. There's a lot of damage and a lot of vulnerability. And we may not be ready yet for this path. We may not be ready to grow just yet. And so to help us all prepare, I offer this prayer. It's also from Archbishop Tutu from the Book of Forgetting. This is a prayer that we can all pray before we begin the work of Lent. So let us pray. I want to be willing to forgive, but I dare not ask for the will to forgive in case you give it to me and I am not ready. I am not yet ready for my heart to soften. I am not yet ready to be vulnerable again. Not yet ready to see that there is humanity in my tormentor's eyes, or that the one who hurt me may also have cried. I am not yet ready for the journey. I am not yet interested in the path. I am at the prayer before the prayer of forgiveness. Grant me the will to want to forgive. Grant it to me, not yet, but soon. Can I even form the words, forgive me? Dare I even look? Do I dare to see the hurt I have caused? I can glimpse all the shattered pieces of that fragile thing, that soul trying to rise on the broken wings of hope, but only out of the corner of my eye. I am afraid to see. How can I not be afraid to say, forgive me? Is there a place we can meet, you and me, the place in the middle, the no man's land where we straddle the lines, where you are right and I am right too, and both of us are wrong and wronged? Can we meet there and look for that place where the path begins, the path that ends when we forgive? Amen.